Blog Talk Radio.
As we're drifting through the clouds, we rise above, and then we see light above the clouds. And we sing Long of Light today. So this is the Kabbalah Show brought to you in San Diego. I am the co-host, Arnie Levine, and the host of the show is Stephen Zakovich. How you doing today, Stephen?
Hey, pretty good. How do you like our subject matter tonight? It's got to be about time and transformation of souls. And, of course, we have daylight savings time today. So how's that for how the Creator works?
Does that mean there were some souls saved today, or are some souls taken up to be recycled?
souls are always being coming back and forth. It's like Jacob's ladder. They walk up and they walk down. So anyway,
today's show is sponsored by my company. I'm Arnie Levine. My company, is countypropertiesnet. a local real estate company in San Diego, and we will take care of you, even if you're a new client, just like family and friends, because you are our family and friends. And the Kabbalah Show is about learning how to receive. So, Stephen, how do we receive what you are going to be talking about today? How should we be looking at to our new listeners?
Okay. Well, one of the things, we still have the singing in the background. That's always interesting. So the discussion of the matter tonight is, like we said, daylight savings time right there. But tonight's show will be about time and also the transformation of souls. And this is a kind of an in-depth study of what the Torah says and the Zohar says and Kabbalah. And it's kind of all rolled into one. And we'll start with the first part of it was time. And then after probably the second half, we'll go into transmigration of souls, because all this has to do with time. Is that on
what
your side,
that?
German? I don't know. Somebody's screaming.
That wasn't me. That might have been one of the souls trying to go up, and or maybe he's trying to stay down.
you never know. You know, things we call it divine intervention right there, and it can happen at any time. So anyway, so we'll look at time, and to begin with, and we all know that when we used to wear watches on our wrists, but now we have cell phones. We would look at the clock, and the clock would tell us what time it is. Well, really, we're telling it what time it is. So we have to take a look at time in a different perspective. And that is that who's in control of time? And so we understand how the Creator says there's a beginning and an end. Okay. And that's what we have is when it starts and when it ends. And so like a day, we have 24 hours. There's a day and a night. So that's kind of like the calendar that he's given us by using the earth and the sun and the moon and all the things doing their particular job of repeating themselves over and over and over again. So he made all the planets and everything move in a particular rhythm right there for him to build his time clock. Now, his time clock and our time clock, I mean, the Creator's time clock and our time clock are two different things. So we say the Creator is infinite, and we say human beings are finite, meaning that they only last for a little while in the finite stage right there. And the infinite continually goes on like forever. So where does the beginning begin and where does the end end? And so we always try to take a look at this paradox, and we're always trying to figure out this time frame aspect of it. And there's all kinds of theories and stuff like that. But when we come to the Torah right there, the Torah says that on the fourth day, he created a larger orb to rule by day and the lesser orb to rule by night. And so if you go into that part of Genesis right there, talking about how the planets move and all that particular things, we find out that it's a cyclical type of an aspect, is that it continually is going outward. Okay, so it repeats the process over and over again. And it maintains its timepiece. It's like a timepiece. And before man or animals were created, he had to set that all in motion right there to be able to have his time. Now, the Creator's time, we say, there is no beginning and no end. Okay, so how can you possibly say that as we get into this paradoxical discussion about time? And we understand that if the Creator is infinite, okay, so how far is infinite? Okay, and where does he begin? So a lot of times we kind of draw a circle. And a circle is like a connection. There's a line, a straight line. And we connect a line, and you can go around and around on that particular line. And this is how a clock works, too. It goes around and around and around. So if we look at his particular timepiece right there, and since he is infinite, he doesn't really have to deal with time. And it also says in the scriptures, he says, I waste nothing. And that's a very important statement right there. He says he wastes nothing. So that gives us an idea, an inkling to, if he wastes nothing, what still, if you waste nothing, is it's probably one of the greatest thing, recycling plans that we can possibly think of. Everything is something, and then it becomes something else. And on our second half, we'll talk that a little bit more, because that's how souls are transmitted right there. But we're going to go back into the timepiece of the Creator. So there is no beginning and end. So in the scripture, he says there's a beginning and an end. Okay, now it was put in the scripture for us mortals, our finite people, to understand that when we take a look at the scripture, it says, from dust to dust. Okay. So in that particular element, there's a beginning and there's an end. And this is why it's put in the Torah at that particular level, so you can understand who you are. We do not have any control coming into the world, neither do we have control coming out. And this is why we're called finite people right there. We live for a certain amount of time. And yes, there's always an argument how long the beginning and end is for us. We can get killed by a car. We can eat bad and die early and stuff like that. And we got all kinds of association, but I'm going to really talk about how the Creator looks at his timepiece. Now, they creating the sun and the moon and the earth, and we know nothing orbits anything, because orbit means retrograde, and nothing goes backwards. Everything is always going forward. Everything's going forward. And you have to look in your science books, and a lot of times the science books won't explain that. Nothing orbits that we haven't understand. It's continually moving outwards and stuff like that. No retrograde. So in that particular...
With making that statement, part of it is in the laws of physics, and one of the things that we try not to do on the show is strictly go everything based on the physical world, because we're talking about discovering the spiritual world interacting, is that we know that space, from astronomers, is that the space is constantly expanding. So it does concur with the same thing that spiritually we're talking about.
Yeah.
Space constantly expands.
That's right. So as a science major and an astronomer right there, when you study enough of it right there, you'll find out, you know, they have the Big Bang theory, and the Big Bang theory is a theory, of course, and you can say anything's a theory, but the thing, everything goes outwards, okay? But the thing is, we know, and what we have space today, that there's a curvature in the farthest reaches that we're able to have an understanding of galaxies running into each other, and that's another story. So going back to the presence of having to understand now what his time is right there, and it's as we have in our daily routine, we go to sleep at night and we wake up in the day. We repeat the process over and over again. Okay, well, the universe basically does the same thing. It's repeating the same process over and over again. And that process over and over again is basically a transformation. And we say it's a transformation because gases and dust turn into whatever particular ingredient that they particularly are. So if we take a look at the atom right there, the atom is a component, electron, neutron, proton, nuclear envelope, quartz, and so forth right there. But the thing is, they exist, and we get into the laws of thermodynamics, which I won't get into that particular aspect right there, because I'm trying to talk about how the Creator uses his mechanism to make day and night and stuff like that. And we say in the scripture right there, it says, I made these right here for a particular reason. And it was for you to understand what my cycle is of days and nights. It was him to show you. It was not us to tell him that I make special days. Like I make up a holiday on Tuesday. Holiday really means holy day. Okay, so, but they use holiday because they don't want to use the word holy. So they make holiday, okay? And if you make a holiday, whose holiday is it? Well, it's yours. You made it. You made the holiday. But in the scripture, he has certain times that the seasons repeat themselves over and over and over again. Those are his time frames. He has certain holy days. Okay, those are his holy days, not our holy days. So we have to basically, when we're following the scripture, we try to follow his holy days versus making up our own holy days right there. So in that particular element right there, we are guided on what we are supposed to do on a yearly basis. We plant, we farm, we seed, we crop, and we do harvest. We do all those particular things right there. And he says in the scripture, I do not change. And the reason he doesn't change is that we can repeat the principle. We can repeat the process, which is basically the scientific method. So you can go into science, and you can go into the scripture and Kabbalah, and they're basically science, and both of them are hand in hand. But one is the science of the world, is a corporeal, and the one in the scripture is the spiritual aspect of it right there. So we have to look at two particular elements right there. And so on the first day, he created the heaven below, or he created the heaven above and the heaven below. Therefore, you have two unique aspects of right there. Two unique aspects are what we have in Kabbalah. We call the ego, which is the finite, the worldly person who lives dust to dust, has a certain amount of time. And the spiritual part, which is the heaven above right there, which is the consciousness. Now, we understand the consciousness as a will. We call it the Creator's will, because he's the one that created all these particular mechanisms, okay? And if we say the Creator created all these things right there, and it says, well, how long did it take to do that? Well, the thing is, well, your guess is as good as my guess is. Who knows how long it's been going on? Okay, the thing is that a lot of people want to get tied up in that this time, space, warp, continuum and stuff like that. And of course you can. There's all kinds of particular things. There's a light wave doesn't travel in a straight line. It curves, and there's a reason it curves, and I'm not going to get into that. But using the laws of physics and science and everything like that to disprove, we also approve of two particular things. We prove that we exist in this world, the finite, because we live for a certain amount of time. And that's the particular time we have, a beginning and end, our beginning and end, okay? From dust we are, and dust we shall become. That's a recycling program, believe it or not. We can become very environmentalists right here, just like the Creator had in mind when he created everything, is that he changes everything. He changes solid into a gas. Can you see a gas? No. Can you see gravity? No, you can't. But it exists. And we know it exists. If you put a piece of heavy wood in a bell glass jar, you burn it right there. If you weigh the atomic structure right there, it doesn't change. Therefore, the wood is still there, but it's not in that particular shape. Therefore, it's transformed. And we know our raining cycles and stuff like that we have. The water evaporates, goes to the heavens, and comes back down again, and it's a recycling aspect of it also, too. So now we can get an understanding of the clockwork that the Creator has said to us right there, and we can use it, or you can come up with other theories and stuff like that. Everything's acceptable. But we're really basically transforming things, okay? And to prove it again over and over again, the scientific method will prove that it is. It repeats the process over and over again right there. So going back to his particular time and how we interact with it, our understanding of it. In the corporeal world and the physical body, we know there's an end, or we call life, okay? And we also know there's a beginning when we're born. And so when do you remember when you were being born? Okay, so that's another thing. And of course, the gestation before that was 9 months before right there. Did you really exist? Of course you existed right there because you're an atom. You're multiplying, mitosis right there. You're being created in the womb right there for you to exist in that particular world of the womb. And then when you're born, you're introduced into another world, which is we call reality, our life right there. So, and there's also, we have unique things right there is that, you know, when the space Voyager goes up there like that and they get on a tether and they hover around in space and everything like that, well, you can compare that to your mother. She tethers you inside of her, which is the umbilical cord. To your navel, and therefore when you're born, you come into the world with an umbilical cord, just like they do in outer space, right there, umbilical cord, so you're able to exist in that particular environment. So how do we know that it was mother right there? Because we all have navels, and if you don't have a navel, of course, that's another story. But the thing is that this takes us all the way back to our beginning of our creation right there. And according to what some people believe, they come from worms. Well, that's fine. And some people believe that we're created whole. Okay. But once again, we have to look at the understanding of that. What is the creation and whose creation is it? And we're always talking about the creators, if you want to use this particular aspect right there. That
hey,
is
can
infinite.
I wanted to back up on what you were just saying. So we're talking about created going in the Genesis mode, which is a big discussion that could go a couple of ways on what it says in the Bible written 5,700 years ago. And then, you know, everybody interprets that literally, which I did many years. And then it's like, well, we got prehistoric, you know, dinosaurs, caveman, all that kind of physical world, scientific conversations. So I didn't want to run over that quickly. So let's talk about what the intention was in Genesis to be talking about man's soul and the first, quote unquote, how the Creator says it, not how the world says it, but how the Creator is intentionally saying the first soul being Adam. Could you expand more on that?
Well, let's take a look at the soul. A soul has components to that we understand right now, going back to Abraham's time right there, where he tried to figure out, you know, how you make a component of something that you can't see. So he had to do an artist's rendition, which is an illusion right there for us to understand, and it's called the Ten Sephiroth. So we have Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Haya, and Yeshida. These are five levels of elevating the soul to have understanding, knowledge, wisdom, judgment, and understanding. For you to obtain those particular things, you have to go through a process. Now, let me ask the question and answer it for you, is that before mankind, there was another beta program running on the earth, okay? And these were the prehistoric creatures that were on the earth. So if we look at the way the creation started, you have the earth, plants, then you have the animals. That's the way the process works. So if you take it back into the pre-esteemed period and all those other particular things, you will find out there was earth and there was rain and then the plants grew. Now, where did the plants come from? That's always an interesting aspect of it too, because they themselves are a thinking creature. And I can explain the thinking creatures right there, because roots don't want to grow over other people's roots. They have an understanding of how the principle works. So the plants grew, okay, and there was no animals. So the plants covered the earth and created atmosphere, okay? And then he says, okay, now I have to balance out the plants. So he creates large creatures to eat the grass and eat the plants, okay? And that was a process that he went through. And this is a beta test right there, because the animals had a purpose right there because of what they had to do. They had to clear the land, okay? And that's what the animals do. They're re-energizing, they're transforming the biological plant life into food for the animals. Therefore, that's the next stage. Okay. Now, the thing is that for the final stage, which the Creator had an intention, what he was doing as he was the designing, the engineering of this particular transformation, which is Genesis. We use the word Genesis for transformation. So what he was doing right there was presenting the models of how to make certain particular species, pterodactyls for flying, fishes for the seas, and all the particular, all the designs were there. But the thing is, okay, I have everything ready. Now I have to set my thing for my final creation, which is mankind. So we have the earth, we have the plants, we have the animals, and then the final stage is mankind. Now the Creator said, I will make you in my image. And so how does one become an image of the Creator? Well, therefore, if we look at how we evolved through time, it's an evolutionary process, of course. But the thing is, each species had a unique purpose. And we understand mankind is the one that was standing up right there. And of course, there's all kinds of arguments and stuff like that. I'll just try to make it a little bit more simpler. So the object right there is to create a reflection of the Creator, meaning thinking man. That's why he's called thinking man. Thinking man can deny his own purpose. He can deny his own existence. And this is what we have today. We can deny our own existence right there. We don't believe we came from a worm or whatever it is right there. So in this particular process right there, it's a beta. But the thing is, for everything to be like in Noah's flood came in and eradicated all the evil right there. But also he can move the planet a little bit. And we also understand that because there's geological proofs that basaltic rock is on the moon. How did it get on the moon? So we said an asteroid hit the earth and moved the earth. And there's a lot of arguments about that too. You can go into other geological aspects right there. It moved the earth. It created a catastrophe right there. It wiped out the animals, most of the things. But some of the mammals that he created, some of the insects that he created that were kept and were not all wiped out, okay? And those can evolve, not to macro evolution, but micro evolution. Micro evolution is a dog. As we know it today, a dog can be 20 different kinds of dogs, but it's still DNA. It's still a dog. And we understand that everything has an engineering design product, but every creature that is living on the earth from the design. So the animals, which is, believe it or not, as we are part of that animal, because we evolved from an animal aspect of our instincts as animal right there, because we have to survive. We have to survive on the planet that he created for us like that. So if we look at that time continuum. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, so you're bringing us back through the creation of the physical world. And now we're going into the next phase. Now that phase, which is the prehistoric and the ancient days before what we're talking about in Genesis, we're talking about also caveman day without a soul. Is that correct?
No. The soul, okay, and if you look at in Genesis right there, okay, he created the heavens above, heavens below. And then on the fifth day, he created the birds of heaven and the fishes. Okay, then he created mammals and insects and all the other particular things. And man was created last, okay. Now, the third thing is that the Creator said he breathed in the nephesh into mankind, making him a spirit. Okay, so basically, if we breathe into an animal, okay, the animals were here first before us. Okay, the birds were more complicated design. But then again, they had pterodactyls beforehand. So the proof has already been made right there. So you can reproduce a bird. Okay, so he reproduces birds right there. But the thing is, they think. And this is the unique thing right there. The animals in the dinosaur age, yeah, they thought too. But the thing is, this was a higher level of thinking right there. Because now he perfected the design of his species that he wanted to have on the earth. And which
so
was
I got
mankind.
A question, okay, question sure. for you. So cavemen or men that drew on the caves, you know, that is measured in history going more than 5,700 years, is going back 50,000 years. Are you saying that, I'm still not clear on that. So That's way beyond the 5,700 years. So at what is Genesis reflecting when man level to a human being with a soul?
That's right. This was a smaller compactual design after the dinosaurs and all the other things were eradicated. There were no mankind in that particular time right there. Okay. Yeah, they find Mary and all these particular parts of bones, which could be an ape or something like that. But it basically, once again, it's a theory. We have to look what it says in Genesis account right there. Well, we talk about Genesis means two beginnings, okay? One was the one of the spiritual aspect, and one was of the finite. So there are two developments at the same time. So when he created in the 7 days, and we say 7 days, but the thing is that we don't understand his time. He doesn't have any time. We believe there's a timepiece that I got to watch and I can do it. Okay, oh, 1 day. Well, you did all that 1 day. No, that's not the way it worked. His time was that he created each box separately. Each day was separately designed. And what he knew the beginning and the end. So he that's the way he designed it. And that's where man came in at the last time. All he did was place the blocks into place for them to be able to function. Yeah, go ahead.
So the time that what we're talking about now is you know, a lot of people interpret everything literally, but the interesting thing is this: when this is written, it's written for all time. So that's why people try to put a square peg in a round hole about this thing about time. So in the Torah or the Bible, it says many times it talks about time. And then it expands out and says what you're saying, that time represents sometimes is not 1 year for year, or 1,000 years doesn't represent literally 1,000 years. It could be 100 years represents 1,000 years or longer. So the words that's used in the Bible, it says these numbers, but sometimes it doesn't mean the exact time. So are you saying when he said that the world was built in 6 days, or everything was built within the world that we have today, 6 days, that 1 year, that 1 day doesn't mean it's a year. It could be within his time.
That's right. Yeah. We're trying to understand.
Does make sense, because if he created reality first, that explains how the dinosaurs being millions of years old and man being, you know, this many years, that those numbers could be expanded out to that larger number. Is that what you're saying?
The thing is, this is an interpretation of time. Now, radiocarbon right there, we believe it like it's the Holy Grail. Well, it isn't the Holy Grail. Most people that understand going through the carbon process right there, all kinds of unique things could have happened at the particular time, changing the way it's interpreted. Now remember, human beings interpret. We're always trying to find out what is the right answer. We're all looking for the truth, okay? But if we look into the Creator's calendar, which is geology, if we look at how the earth was formed, okay, we have an understanding how he recreates it with his little earthquake faults and all the other particular things right there, because this is a living planet. The planet is actually living. It transforms itself all the time. Volcanoes, subduction, induction, and stuff like that. It's constantly changing itself, and this is what I was saying in the very beginning. It's a transformation process. But the thing is, we are surface dwellers of it right there. We don't live in the volcano. But as you mentioned, with the caveman, well, the caveman was pretty smart because he knew how to get out of the elements. He found the cave, and he lived in the cave. Okay. Now, the thing is that he also wrote on the walls, graffiti, okay, showing what animals existed at that time. And a giant elephant and stuff like that. Okay, they may have gone down on there because the mammoth went out fairly late. And it's particular things right there. We even have their body and their tissue mass saved right there. But the thing is that they lived in caves because there was a particular reason, because of rain and other particular things right there. So if we have to go back into... In Genesis, when Adam was Elohim, okay, the mighty one that was the teacher. And he says, and Adam came from the Creator. And the Creator says, I will make you in my image, a reflection of my image. Okay. So the Creator used his consciousness and his will to fabricate a human being. Okay. And was he a caveman? No, because we're talking a metaphor in Genesis right there, because we're talking on a spiritual level. His consciousness, his will, and half the words we use are all pertaining to spirituality and psychiatrists, holy man, all these particular things, right? Reference back to the same point. So the object right there is Elohim was teaching Adam. It says, name this, name that, name this, name that right there. Anyway, what he was doing, he was actually creating that consciousness into a material object. He said, these are animals. These are that. This is that right there. He created it in consciousness only. It wasn't a physical thing. This is why we use metaphors. But the thing is that once they ate from the tree of good and evil right there, they were banned out of the Garden of Eden, which was Eden, put into the garden. Now they had a corporeal body. Okay, that was a corporeal body. Then he lived among the men. He was not an ignorant man. Okay, he understood because he watched all the animals, because that's how he learned. He says, I'm alone and all the animals have somebody. Okay, and that tells you another thing of his dynamic of understanding, and that's why the woman was cloned from him. But since both of them failed, go ahead.
I'm still misunderstanding. So you're saying as far as when the creation of man came into being, the physical creation of the first man, human, was Adam as a physical man, or are you just talking spiritually as a spiritual?
He was a spiritual man because he was dealing with spiritual consciousness. Okay, the consciousness
So there was cavemen that existed before Adam, but Adam was the first conscious man that had the qualities of the Creator, created in his image. Is that it?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. He knew what caves were. He knew what trees were. He saw the animals make plants and do stuff like that. Animals weren't dumb. They built little nests and stuff like that. He did the same thing. It wasn't rocket science when it rained and stuff like that. But at that particular time, yeah, okay. So anyway, so that particular process went way, because, you know, the Elohim, which means the mighty one, which is a reflection, the intermediary between the Creator and mankind. Okay, the Creator didn't come down here and compile a human being or do all this like there. His consciousness created it in his design, his engineering, his consciousness right there. In his consciousness of creating, there was no time. Okay, he had the whole universe of time right there, which who knows how long that goes right there. He could have been forever. But the thing is that in the scripture, it puts in a time frame there because we are created in his image. And when we were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, we couldn't live forever. So then we turn dust to dust right there. Okay, and that brings the next aspect of this whole thing. Of what is transmigration of souls? So I want to finish up the time travel right there from the beginning of man all the way up to this particular time here where we're looking at time. We all know what time is right there. It's a time. What do we have accounting? Well, every time you get a birthday, right? And if you get to 80 years old, congratulations, or 98, congratulations, okay? You counted the years, okay? And the reason you count the years is because you know there's an expectation of mortality that you're going to die, because that's what it says, dust to dust. So it's already told you in there, where are you going? Okay. But that's on the physical level, the finite level. Okay. So in that particular aspect right there, since we're both finite and spiritual, okay, now we have another level of understanding who the Creator is right there, because he created everything we stand on. So therefore, we all want to have a Creator, and some people have more than one Creator, and everybody has different things right there, because we have free will of consciousness to do and create, just like the Creator created us and created the worlds and created all the other particular things that manifest in what we believe in an illusion of reality. Okay. So in these steps that we go through, we find out that there is no time when it comes to the Creator's time. And yeah, they grow drafts and all this stuff like that and show you the geological and all this stuff like that. I understand that. That's to have you have a general understanding of these things right there. And yeah, they can go carbon rating. Oh, it was 80 million years. They put so many years on there right there, it just makes it impossible to make any understanding either. And this is what the geologists right there, they do the same thing. Oh, carbon rating says it was 100,000 years ago. Okay. Well, nobody was living in 100,000 years ago. And just because you get a piece of petrified wood doesn't necessarily mean that is 100,000 years old right there. And of course, we can argue all the particular points, but that's not the point what I'm trying to get at. What I'm just saying is that the world has transformed itself many, many times as it has redesigned us, okay, into a creature that exists only for a certain amount of time. And this where that amount of time is where we learn to live in the world that we exist in. We learn how to eat. We learn how all these particular things that we got to do. Now, what happens at the end of this beginning, our beginning and the end, okay? Well, the Creator, since He is infinite, okay, we have a part of us that is infinite, and that's called our soul. The soul is actually the driver of the car. The body is the car, okay? When you run the car down, you take it into the recycler, and you go out and buy another car. But the thing is, it was the human being that drove it around and pointed in that direction, this direction, that direction. So once again, we have the driver outlasting the car, okay? So when you go through enough cars, okay, and then you die, it's kind of like a transmigration of souls, but with a car. Okay, you live one lifetime in a Chevy, the next year you live in a Ford, next time in a BMW, and each one you live 20 years, it was a 20-year-old car. So you, as you aged, you kept buying a new car, a new body, a new body, a new body. That's every time you die. Okay, your soul is not wasted. As Krishna says, nothing is wasted. Now, consciousness in itself, as we well know, we have a history. We can go back into our history and find out what was going on back there. We still understand those words right there. Therefore, those words that are brought forward from the past into the present has not changed any. We still have an understanding. We look at the history. We look at the history right there, and it says we actually bring the history of all the time before us up to this particular time. Therefore, nothing has really changed. Human beings really believe they've really changed a lot, but they haven't. They haven't changed hardly at all through this duration of the periods that we're going through right to this particular time right here. So how does the soul...
I think over time, you're right, that it was like a slow progression.
It
you know,
very
but based
slow.
On what yeah. I what I've known and read alongside with you is this is showing all the signs of the messianic times, which is a time of change. Now it may not change if we stay the same. The messianic times
we transform. That's what we transform. You're right.
From everything that we've studied, is the messianic times. This is the potential time, but we have free will, so it could be postponed, like we do everything else as a race, because the messianic times is about us inviting the Messiah coming, inviting a time of change that is good change, even though in the belief systems that are in different various religions, it's about interpretation. And it does go deeper because, for example, the New Testament goes into Revelations, and it talks about different things there. But the Revelations are based on everything in Isaiah, on that is where it came from. So what's talked about in Revelations have now been talked in a different way, that there's going to be a lot of destruction and, you know, all this and who gets chosen and judgment.
Well, yeah, but those are things in the new covenant right there. It was done with a different pair of eyes right there. The John in Revelations right there, he's talking about end times. Okay. The thing is that all of the suffering and everything like that, we do it today. We can wipe out
and
whole civilization. That's what I'm.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's the point I was bringing up. He's talking about not at the messianic time when the Messiah comes. He's talking about before, and that's where we are today, which is we're seeing this is the time we could change, mankind could change finally, but it has to get worse before it gets better. And right now we've got, you know, we've got nuclear weapons, we've got we're destroying the planet ecologically, you know, all these things that we've been postponing doing something good about, bad things are starting to show itself.
But I understand going into Revelation, most people don't understand the horsemen and all the other particular things, but I want to go back to my car analogy right there. We started out with a Model A, and look at the car we have today.
Yeah. The
is
Prius, my car.
No, but it's a transformation, and it's telling you the Creator put the right in front of your face right there. See how you transformed yourself within 100 years.
Yes.
You're flying jets all over and cylinders, and you're in the space and all that stuff like that. All within 100 years right there. And some people are actually living the whole particular thing right there and witnessing it right there is that transformation. But their body is getting older. And, you know, the new generation keeps coming right there, and it wants to expand even more. It becomes uniquely different than the generation before it right there. So that right there, the new soul coming into the world, it comes in encapsulated into a child. Okay, a new baby coming into the world has a spirit in it, okay? And that spirit is not a brand new spirit. It's an old spirit. And that old spirit has already lived maybe a couple times before. And it went through life. It was not successful to become a good person. That's another discussion right there. To be a refined person. Because
I want to help you out because this was a long subject. We only have about 3.5 minutes because we didn't get the full 60. So I'm going to leave it to you to summarize where you wanted to be.
Okay. Well, anyway, every soul that's in every person right now is an older soul. We're all of us living today as an older soul within us right there. We lived here on the planet before. And now we've come back again right there. We come in a different manifestation right there, a refinement and corrector right there. We come a little bit better each time. As I said, a Model A becomes a new car now. But we're going through the same process, a transformation right there. He's always trying to refine. And this is where we're at today. So everybody out there right there, you can go in the scriptures and forums right there, and you can look at the old engineering book about humanity. Or you can go into science and read the same thing. They both basically agree with each other right there. So once again, you have the control, the free will in your life to be able to make yourself a real beautiful model. And it's all up to you to make that particular distinction right there because you have all the time of the infinite, okay? If you don't do it now, you'll do it later. Trust me, you'll do it. A person who commits suicide will come back at the same time he committed suicide to relive that particular point so he didn't commit suicide. So once again, metaphors on that one.
In Isaiah, it did say when the Messiah comes, there'll be 1,000 years of peace. And that's clearly said, which means there will be everything good as long as we are able to have understanding of love and kindness and unity with everyone. To be able to invite the Messiah to come.
Yeah. And
we
that
have
takes
to send
us
out
to our
a good
next...
invitation.
That's right. And that's called Garden of Eden. Okay. The garden is the world. Eve is the special place. It's all peaceful. This is what we're trying to return to the particular, not from the world, the corporeal world is a garden. But Eden, that's where we're all going. And when you sleep at night, that's where most people go right there for replenishment of the soul. So anyway, it kind of covers everything like that. And next time, we'll have another discussion about where we're going at those things right there. And John and Revelation, very important aspect like that, because he says, heaven comes to earth. Now, read John and Revelation. He says, heaven comes to earth. Now, how can that be? Okay, so
because
once again,
we're creating unity.
We're
inviting. Yeah, exactly.
As
we have to.
As it was in the as it was in Eden. That's where it was, in Eden, where everything was perfect. Everything worked perfect to live forever. But the thing
right.
is,
well,
we
that,
added,
that
added
was that was very good. Thank you very much, Stephen.
Okay.
Show is sponsored by CountyProperties.net, local real estate company.
Uh-huh.
And, join us for Cancer Answer. That is on Tuesday at 3:30. And our show is going to be about getting medical marijuana the right way.
Boy, that's a good one. All right. All right. Well, thank
and
you, everybody out there listening to the recording.
Thank you. And we have one of the top growers in the country going to join our show to tell them how to buy it correctly. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Hey, yeah. Hey, Alex.
See you tomorrow.
I think we're...
Yeah, you got it.